I don't wanna go to work. I just wanna chill and play all day. Look them dead in the face and say, I wish I could just be still asleep while you work.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Jobs Blow Podcast with Brianna and Josh.
The podcast for dreamers with and without day jobs.
We're so glad to be back after a year, and we're looking forward to sharing even more inspiring stories as well as perspectives on surviving life in, during, around, and now after a pandemic.
Yes, Josh, because after more than a year, it's still a mad, mad world, and dreamers like us are struggling more than ever to make a go of it.
All right. How you doing, Brianna?
I'm all right. How are you, Josh?
I'm good. Good to be back. It's springtime, and WandaVision is not coming back, and Falcon and the Winter Soldier is not as good as I thought it was. I'm having an up and down spring. How are you doing?
Where is that coming from?
Well, it's coming from is my daughter's birthday this week, and she was obsessed with WandaVision, so we threw her a, like, indoors WandaVision party. We decked out the whole apartment to make it like the Hex and red streamers and all this stuff. And then it's also now, you know, coming up with like the end of Falcon and Winter Soldier, and it's like making me miss WandaVision so much more because it's just not as good. It's not as good. I hate to say it. How are you?
Well,
pick me up.
On the job front, so I got my new resume.
All right.
And I apparently put it on one of those sites that is just like for, you know, I don't even know what these people are. But if I get one more email about a position in a warehouse, I'm going to lose my
mind. But maybe you worded something weirdly and it's reading like warehouse relations.
No, I don't know. All I know is Aflac wanted me and now this warehouse wants me. I'm like, it's just,
and everybody,
it's good to be wanted though.
Right. You're wanted. Like, I can open boxes, lift 50 pounds above my head and still leave mine. It's still mine. I mean, can everyone see where the two of us are focused? Like, she's focused on like job and security and providing. And I need to be entertained. I am not properly entertained. Where is my Disney Plus? Oh my God.
I mean, as we've talked about before, escaping into television is a huge part of my life lately, which only makes the bridge into introducing our guests all the more perfect.
Oh, right, right, right.
But because ironically, during the day, I spend my time on on all the social channels, and I found Alan Locker on the PR Czar page on Facebook.
Okay.
He was talking about this fabulous YouTube channel that he launched during the pandemic.
Okay.
Where he interviews soap stars.
And soap stars, soap opera stars.
Yes, and I was an avid soap opera, like Channel 2 CBS soap operas.
Right.
Damn. And in fact, in 1995 through 97, when I worked at Parade Magazine,
my
office was across the street from those studios, and I would run into the actors in the deli. And I ran into Reva Shane once over like the buffet. And I was like, Reva Shane, who are you? And she's like, well, I'm currently kidnapped and my kids are missing. People were just like, what is going on here?
That's really funny. So What show is that? Which one?
Guiding Light. That was
Guiding Light. I think when I was a kid, I used to watch, like if I was homesick, my mom or my aunt would watch like Days of Our Lives, you know? And that was, I guess, fine. But like, I never got crazy into it, but it seems like Mr. Locker here has got quite the connections because so much of what he does revolves around that. So let's introduce him, the show name. And we'll
so this show is called, of course, Afternoon Delight.
Boom.
Alan Locker of The Locker Room.
Yes.
Also sounds all kinds of dirty, but sounds like porn dirty more than where we're going. So if you're joining us for any sort of dirty porn, that's
new porn music now. Bomb ticka wow wow. Mr. Lager, Alan Lager, how are you?
Alan, you look a little George Michael. Have you ever heard
I have heard that before. Wow. I haven't heard that in a while. I used to have quite a bit of hair and thicker beard, but
you have you still have full hairline right there. I mean, you're looking real George Michael.
You're listening without prejudice, mom. George Michael.
Yeah, thanks to mom and her hair. So Definitely, I inherited that gene from her. But you guys are cracking me up. Brianna, I get those emails all the time, those, you know, Aflac and insurance companies. And
oh, so it's not just me.
It's not just you. I feel loved for about 30 seconds until I read the whole thing.
Right. But, well, you know why? Because I think it's because they like people who talk and have networks and things like that. So they want you to like sign on, and then they want you to sell insurance to like all the people that you know and talk to. It's a little like Meshuggah, like, but also it's like, oh, I guess it kind of technically mathematically makes sense, right?
And I get, you know, the like entry level, you know, come in, we'll train you, and you know, you don't make anything but commission. And I'm like, no, thank you.
No, thank you. No.
Next. Were you, when you were talking about the deli, was your office like on the east side and 44th Street area?
We were right on the corner of 3rd and 40, was it 44th or 44th? I think between 44th and 45th. Yeah. We were that big building. And it was during that time I realized that soap opera stars are a different kind of celebrity, because if you don't watch soaps, you have no idea who these people are. Because when I was an intern at Good Morning America, this is going back to like 1993, I was walking down the street and Fletcher Reed passed. And I was like, Fletcher Reed! And he stopped to talk to me.
He's a great guy.
He was so nice. Because you know what?
Here's two things.
Soap opera stars.
On The Jeffersons.
Oh, he was?
Yeah, he played Willis. They had a son, Alan Willis.
Oh my God. I love, where is he now?
He's retired. Retired here in New York. And the other thing, Jack probably knows Kim Zimmer, Reva from Seinfeld. She played Mr. Piedmont's secretary or something like that.
Yes.
Is that his name, Piedmont? Or
no,
Piedmont?
Mr. The old guy. That wanted to hold the balloon.
Peterman.
Yes.
It wasn't Peterman. It was the old guy that wanted to hold the Thanksgiving Day balloon.
right.
And the one that made her count, he was
in the shoes.
He cut his candy bars with knives.
I can't believe I don't remember his name.
Yeah.
Right.
But wait. So I don't want to get too far ahead. So
yeah, sorry.
For our audience, The Locker Room is a YouTube channel. And you launched it during the pandemic. Now, I know you launched it with, you know, these interviews with soap actors and actresses.
Yeah.
Is that mainly who you talk to, or have you expanded who you are interviewing? Because I thought I saw other types of shows.
Yeah, I've definitely expanded. So my initial, you know, like you, I was laid off. My last day of work was March 20th.
And my birthday. Hey.
Hey.
What a time. And because I used to do PR for As the World Turns and Guiding Light, I, as the publicist, I knew that As the World Turns had a television anniversary on April 2nd last year. So I was just at home and really tired of watching the news. And I was noticing a lot of people doing Instagram Live one-on-one interviews. And I thought, hey, maybe I'll just call some friends from As the World Turns and Guiding Light, see if they want to do anything. It might cheer fans up, because the fans of those shows had been off the air 10 years at that time already. Right. And one of the actors I called just suggested maybe you want to do it on a streaming platform so you can include more people. And I did. You know, my first show was As the World Turns on a Friday, and then the Guiding Light show, I think, Brianna, you just watched, was the next Wednesday. And I was planning to do the people I knew, which were from those two shows, and fans just responded. You know, I think it was everybody was home at the same time. Everybody was distanced from family. And, you know, Jack and Brianna knows, I mean, soap actors, I mean, like, her reaction, as she just said to Fletcher, they're like family, because you watch them 5 days a week, almost every day of the year. And so people just started asking me to do actors from other shows. And as the channel grew, I just started reaching out to other people. You know, I said to you guys backstage, Charlie's Angels was a show I grew up in. I was 10 years old when that show started. I loved Jacqueline Smith. She was my favorite angel.
And she still looks amazing.
Amazing. And I had reached out to her. I had gotten a no. And a couple months later, they turned around and said yes. And I sat down with her on September 30th. And it was like a little boy's dream come true. So I've branched out. I've done authors. I've done other actors from other, you know, I did Nellie from Little House on the Prairie.
That's amazing.
Wow. Yeah. And I've also created sort of like a sub series because I'm the child of two Holocaust survivors.
Oh.
And with the rise of anti-Semitism and hate in our country, I wanted to just speak up. You know, I really didn't fully grasp while my parents were alive what they had been through. And right. So about once or twice a month, I may do something in the evening where I'm talking to other children of Holocaust survivors. I did something for Black History Month because it's the same thing. I mean, what they experience is the same.
Right. Hate,
you know, it's, you know, I want to do something for the Stop, you know,
Asian hate.
Yep. I'm trying to do that next month. So, you know, it's just the daytime audience came for this ride, and I'm right. just trying to entertain. And the best part that I'm finding is, you know, they will tell me that they started watching because of, you know, Reva or Fletcher or whoever I have on the show, but they've really enjoyed some of the other topics that I've covered. So
it's nice. And it seems too, like, you know, like you said before about they're on 5 days a week, like, you know, soap opera fans seem just like so much more. I mean, it's like you said, it's like family to them. It's people. So, you know, you kind of do anything in that realm, right? They come out and Joe, what do you got? Give me more. You know, it's a different medium. Fine. I'll take it. You know, was that, I mean, it seems like even now you're saying with like the Holocaust, you know, interviews and some of the other, you know, oppressed people, you know, topics. What was the original thought? Was the original just like, I just want to use my network of who I know and bring some love to the world? But then at some point, right, like, I'm interested in like how that changed. Like, oh, we got something here. How are we going to like push this out?
Well, you know, Brianna said she watched, you know, that first Guiding Light show. I mean, I really had never hosted, you know, I was actually going to say, Brianna, you said you interned at Good Morning America. I started my career as a page at ABC working on Good Morning America and Regis and Kathy Lee. And, right. and Regis and Kathy Lee basically hired me out of college. And I think really a lot of what I learned there sort of, you know, it's just stuck with me. And it's sort of about being prepared for your interviews, you know, like watching. And Jack, it just grew. People just, you know, I launched it at a right time. There's no doubt because everybody was stuck at home.
Right.
So when it launched April 3rd of last year, we were right. all in the same boat.
Right.
And people were separated from their family or, you know, from their children. And,
right.
You know, they miss these characters. When these shows go off the air, any right. soap, I'm right. just talking the shows that I worked on, the fans are devastated because it is literally like ripping their family away.
Right.
Right.
I have one comment, too, on that note, is that soap operas until the last 10 years, they were something that you would be hard-pressed to find someone that did not watch a soap opera and who in some cases, like generations of their family members, like it was passed on. I mean, Josh, you even said Days of Our Lives was on in your house.
Right.
I mean, you'd be really hard pressed. It was in the bloodline of a lot of people's yeah. families.
Why do you think I ended up working there? My mother.
Why do you think I got so sick as a little kid all the time? I got to see what's going to happen on Friday.
it's totally. My mother learned to speak English watching the two shows I ended up working on.
Really?
Yeah, oh, she moved here amazing. From Holland, you know, and
really
late 1959, 60, and there's many. And so she passed it on to me. My sister watched for many years, but then, you know, lost it. But it's right. definitely a generation thing. It is a mother or child, their grandchildren. It's like three or four generations. I get people who talk about, you know, I used to watch the, you know, and that's the other thing. I'm reminding them of that time of sitting with their grandmother. Because, you know, so many people, you know, these shows were on, like Guiding Light was on for 72 years before it went off the air. So there's a lot of people who've passed on, and this is sort of just, you know, putting a memory in their head,
right,
of sitting down to watch with their mom.
See what I, right. And, or right. A family member growing up in the house it's on, especially before the times now where I mean, like I went to a comic book store the other day with my daughter for her birthday. And I said to the guy, "Hey, I got this DVD set of these." And he stopped me before I even finished. He's like, "We don't do DVDs." I'm like, "It's really cool. It's an old cartoon." He's like, "Everything is streaming right now. You know, nobody's putting DVDs into a player." So what you're also referring to is people only having one thing to watch. There was only one option. You took the TV on, and that's what was on from 1 to 3 or four, or whatever.
And you couldn't DVR it. Like if you missed it, like I was talking to my aunt about that because I started watching As the World Turns and Guiding Light in the summer. And then I'd go back to school and I couldn't watch As the World Turns. I might be able to make it home for Guiding Light. And I was like, how did I do that? She's like, because you could miss a ton of them and pick right back up. It was like, that was the best thing about them. You could miss months and start back and be like, okay, I understand. One thing I wanted to ask you though. So the Guiding Light episode I watched, you had over 40,000 views. Is that since it's been up for a year? What was your initial, like when you first started doing it, what was your viewership? And I also want to ask how you think you've been able, I mean, it's a very niche thing that you're doing. I mean, there is a group of people, as we talked about, who are obsessed, and this is like in their bloodline. So I get that. But do you feel that you got them to your YouTube channel through, I noticed you got a ton of PR and Soap Opera Digest and those sorts of publications. Is that what helped with your viewership? You know,
so that show, you know, again, everybody was home, especially at that time. You know, April of last year, we were shut down. So people were home. So those numbers, right, for those early shows are high. Some shows still get them pretty high. You know, it grew through social media, through people talking about it. You know, at first, I mean, I didn't have a name for it when I did those first ones. That probably came about 2 or 3 weeks later. You know, I was talking really because I needed to find a job, and I was talking to a coach and I told her what I was doing, and she loved it. And she's like, "You need to brand it." And then I, you know, one of my best friends, Paul, owns his own advertising company. So of course I called Paul, but that night I sat on the couch next to my husband and I'm like, "The Locker Room." And he was like, "That's it." Right. And, you know, I think it's, you know, part of it was, people know that I was a fan of them first. They know I work there. I think it's just grown that they sort of trust what I'm doing. You know, it stinks. Like I wish, you know, I call the more serious subjects Conversations with Alan.
Right.
I wish some of those would get some of those numbers because I feel those conversations are really important today in our world.
Right.
You know,
I think that's, it's an interesting
point. And those are the ones not with soap stars.
Correct. Well, no. So like I did the Black History.
Clarify. Yeah, those are not. Yeah. Okay.
For the majority, they're not. Like when I tied the Conversations with Alan to Black History Month, I did a really interesting show with three people from Guiding Light. One was on in the 90s who played Jilly. Amelia Marshall, who has a 23-year-old son who's biracial. And then I had two younger Black actors who had been on Guiding Light who are raising 2 2-year-olds at the moment. So, you know, but for the majority, those shows are more real people and not soap related. So I know what the audience is for The Locker Room. It is definitely the daytime fans. And they tell me all the time, they throw suggestions out left and right. It is, it's kind of, you were talking about WandaVision, Jack. It's,
yeah.
They're very Comic-Con fan-like.
Right, right.
You know,
they just come out in droves. They know the history. They know every storyline. They know it all.
I mean, there's things, you know, I can't remember everything. Having worked there, having watched, I'm sure,
right.
You know, Brianna, you don't remember everything you watch. But
of course she does.
There are people who just have it. I'll be in the middle of a show and be like, I can't remember that character. Boom, it comes up.
Oh, no, I was watching the chat box and people were saying things and I was just like, oh my God, how do you remember that?
It's incredible.
Right, which is funny in itself. You would think with all the fandom going on and like the billions that these franchises make that the soap opera world hasn't like more capitalized on that, or Comic-Con for soap operas, you know?
But they're not even available, like we're talking DVDs, they're not available on anything. So mm-hmm. a lot of the memories like she was referring to is like 20 years ago, 30 years ago.
Right.
There's people who
legit don't. Memories.
Yeah, legit.
I was Googling. Like they were like, this actress who played, and I was like, oh my God, yeah. But like,
sorry, you want to talk about it? Keep talking. You're in his zone, so go.
Well, no, like the Michael Zaslow stuff. Like I remember when he passed. Like he was so great as Roger Thorpe on Guiding Light. Like a lot of it was just it also takes you back to a different time in your life, right? I mean, like, yeah, Days of Our Lives for me was sitting on my mom's lap when I was 5 watching that with her. But Guiding Light and As the World Turns was more my high school and college. And you know what my soap in the evening was? Knott's Landing.
Did you see who I just had?
Donna?
Yes.
Yeah.
That was amazing for me, too. Yeah. I was a Knott's Landing person. Love and that's it. A soap. Wait, you just said something. It is that connection. It is an amazing connection that they make, and you know they miss them. I mean, and there's only the Michael Zaslow. Do you remember Alex? Yeah, but I did a tribute. My first tribute was to Alexandra Spalding.
Oh my God! But not the first blonde one.
The first blonde one. That's who the tribute for, because people. Okay. She is like the actress that everybody talks about, and people loved it. I did it with her son and a couple actors, Lujak, Fletcher, Philip. And then I thought to do Michael. People were asking for Michael, and then I just did one for Agnes Nixon, who created All My Children and One Life to Live. And you know, it just really brings people back. You said it perfectly. It brings people back to a time.
Okay,
wait, Josh, so you know, Michael Zaslow died of ALS back in 1997 or 98.
Yeah.
But what freaked me out is when I looked, he was younger than we are. Like
he's my age, yeah. I'm 54 and he died at 54, I think.
No, awful. I think he died at 46.
No.
To God, it was, really? He was in his 50s?
I think so.
I'm going to be Googling. Josh, go ahead.
Okay. I think it was because I definitely noticed. I thought it was my age.
Right. It's really funny that you even said that about age, Brianna, because I have a friend who's on TikTok or one of these, social media, Instagram.
TikTok,
and what he does is it's brilliant, right? He finds like old, like actors today and how old they are in regards to the show that they were on. So for example, right? Like he's like, Will Smith was like 20 when he was in Fresh Prince. His son is 20. This kid is older than this guy was, you know, and he does it for all of these shows. Like, it's really wild, right? So it's like really funny to like sit there and go like, how old are we compared to some of these people now that we idolized or looked up at growing up? And that kind of leads into this question, and be honest with it. You said like it came out at the beginning of the pandemic, right? So what I'm interested in for this show, what really stands out to me that you do is, first of all, you named it something as cool as The Locker Room, obviously, and it's L-O-C-H-E-R, not the K. So that's, I love puns and double entendres like that, right? But what I love about that name is that it can be anything. It could be The Locker Room talking about sports. It could be The Locker Room talking about soap operas or Marvel movies, right? So it's a brilliant general name as opposed to The Soap Box, you know, like now it's only that. So bravo on that one. There were other podcasts that came up over the pandemic and on YouTube that did similar things to what you're doing, right? So for example, Josh Gad has a podcast that he does where he collects, you know, old movies that we grew up with, Goonies, Lord of the Rings, Back to the Future.
I watched the Goonies one.
Goonies one was brilliant, right? They were all good. Everyone he did. My question is, where along the line did you come up with the idea in regards to, did you see other people doing some of the things, because really what you did was is you got in first, right? If someone else had come along and a former soap star and said, I'm going to do this, then they would have the market on it. And now you said, well, I'm a PR professional in that world. Let me use that. Now, I mean, that's kind of like the theme of this podcast. It's like, use what you know and what you love and what you're an expert at and see if you can turn that into this passion, which it is now obviously budding. 13,000 subscribers is no joke. Yeah, I mean, just kind of comment on that. Like the
Definitely. First of all, I never thought I'd be doing this a year later. Right. I didn't know I would love it so much. I'm loving talking to you. The one thing I think I've learned is how much we can learn from one another. Really, just if you listen and open it up. I was doing what I knew, which was the people from the shows that I worked on. You know, I had their numbers, and then when fans were asking for other things, I had to put the PR hat on that I know so well, and I had to start reaching out to contacts. I've got people through managers, agents, through social media, through other connections. I've just really used as a PR professional what I definitely know. And initially,
and it grows on top of itself. They did Guiding Light. Well, we got to get Days of Our Lives.
What was interesting is you mentioned I got in there at the beginning. It was maybe a month in, and Entertainment Weekly really sort of stole my idea and did all my All My Children reunion with a few people. Now it was I don't know that they really stole my idea, but hey, I was doing it,
right?
And then it happened.
They didn't do any other ones, though, right?
They didn't.
Thank God. Wait, I had a question for
you.
Did you find out? You were right. 56. Okay. My math was obviously bad when I first looked. But I wanted to say, so you do have advertising on your YouTube channel.
That's right? Through Google.
Okay. So
through YouTube, basically.
Okay.
So you have to reach a certain point with Google, and they'll start putting that on themselves. I have nothing to do with it, really.
So have you monetized? Are you making
money? I'm making a little money through that. Not enough money to not have to look for a job.
Right. So welcome to my world.
Right. Yeah. It's all of our worlds. I would love, I never, a year ago, I wouldn't have told you that I would love to be doing this. I'd love to be doing this. I feel like, I hear all the time how it's making a difference, especially during this dark time where people are, by reconnecting or just cheering them up with people they see. And I'm really enjoying talking to people, and I would love to find a way to really, possibly do it professionally.
Right. Have you tried to take it to a platform if it was a podcast? I don't know.
I have a few people who have reached out, but it wasn't sort of like offering me money, and it's hard to figure out how to monetize this. And also, when I reached out to people, I asked them to do it for YouTube. So, it's a complicated question, right? But I think there's a place for this. I mean, some of those views, 40,000 on one show.
Right? Well, yeah.
Well, I mean, I watch a lot of YouTube channels for different things, and I was even watching something today about, tips on how to set up your home studio with lighting and this and that, right? If you think about it, right, like there are professional people and studios and careers that involve all of that. And here we are, you and me, trying to go, well, where do I put this light over here? I don't even know what I'm doing. But at the same time, it's like your only opportunity to kind of create your own career in that regard, right? So like my point is you have to stick at it in this medium, right, and keep doing it, and then that next show that's going to get 100,000 views, you don't know how or why or this and that, and then you're almost kind of stuck in a situation of like, well, now I have 100,000 subscribers and I'm making X amount of money, and now I'm kind of in this business of YouTube and these conversations, right? Like it's kind of this, like, it's like a drug in a way. You have to keep pushing at it, or and you get addicted to it, because that's really the only way to get success. I mean, right? I mean, if you go to ABC right now and you're like, look at what I do, and look at I mean, like, it's just like, it's like climbing a mountain, you know, like anybody could go to them, and there's 1,000 interviewers. I don't mean to belittle anything, right? I'm just saying, like, we're in competition with everyone. So the only way you can
somebody be
successful
today,
is YouTube.
Somebody said there's, you know, 5,000 shows or something like that on YouTube. And, you know, I've talked to like a creator coach who told me like those numbers, you know, it's over 13,000 subscribers in a year, over 1 million views, close to 200, almost 300,000 watch hours. And if you 300,000.
It's wild.
Yeah.
It's insane.
It's incomprehensible.
Yeah.
But you have to stick at it to make
And
that
Ellen,
be successful.
Since there are still soaps on, can you do something? Because, I mean, I know there's still Soap Opera Digest and they mm-hmm. still exist. But, I mean, is there an opportunity to do something where you're, like, in real time highlighting what's happening on the ones that still
Yeah, I work with Young and the Restless and the Bold and the Beautiful. I have relationships with their PR department. They've been great. I've had a couple of General Hospital because I have friends on there. I haven't, you know, they haven't really. I've offered, you know, this is it's silly because as a publicist who worked in daytime, it's not easy to get exposure for daytime.
Outside of the niche publications.
Right. Before I came to daytime, I worked for the Walt Disney Company. I was a senior publicist and worked on over 200 movies. Wow. You know, to go from saying, hi, it's Alan from the Walt Disney Company to Alan from As the World Turns and Guiding Light is a huge difference, you know. Yeah, I'm doing Bold and Beautiful. I did something for their 34th anniversary. I had two actresses yesterday from The Young and the Restless on a show. So I'm, you know, the show's there if they want it. And, you know, I keep, you know, one thing I learned from my mother as a young age, she always said, you know, you'll never get anywhere. All you can do is ask. And all they can say is no.
No. Yeah.
And that's what I've done for every celebrity. I've had, you know, Jacqueline Smith said no first, and then I got her. There's been others who've said no, and then there's others who, you know, not right now. You know, they don't have anything. They don't want to talk right now. Right. You know, the best part, though, is now, as a publicist, I'm being pitched.
Yeah, right. we get pitched.
You reached out to me. That's exactly why I posted on the Czars, mm-hmm. the PR Czars, was, you know, I felt I had numbers that people, you know, so now I get, you know, people pitching me different things.
Well, you were funny because when you posted, it was so like nonchalant, like, oh, yeah, I'm doing this thing. I was like, oh, well, that's fun. And then I went and I was like, well, these numbers are more than I'm just doing this thing. I'm sorry, Josh.
In that same regard, like, is this the dream job?
You know, I think it's a dream job without knowing it was a dream job.
Yeah.
When I graduated college, I applied for a job at As the World Turns and Guiding Light, but I didn't know at that time in my life what I wanted to do. And right out of college, I got a job at Disney and they put me in the PR department where I basically learned the profession of PR and marketing. And so 10 years later, I ended up working for As the World Turns and Guiding Light.
And then you were there for 10 years?
Almost 13 years.
Wow. And then the next place you were at for another 10. You've
10
had like,
years.
That's incredible.
Yeah, so, I've worked long. Yeah.
And who's doing your PR now? I mean, I know you said you're posting and doing your stuff, but aren't you the perfect person to be doing your own PR?
I am. You know, I've started to try, you know, I just had a, you know, Digest did a nice thing, but that's the niche. You know, I am trying more and more, but, you know, as right. you know, you two produce your show. It's a lot of work. I'm a one-man machine. I try to do about 3 shows a week. And that's, you know.
That's a lot of work.
It's booking a lot of work. And,
yeah.
Right. No. Booking. And then I, you know, the posting and questions and researching. You know, today I watched a movie for a show for next week.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of, you know, stuff that goes into it. And that's why, you know, if I could monetize it, you know, because, it, you know, time is money. And I also need to be looking for that job that's going to pay me.
Well, it's a good question. So it's something Brianna and I talk about all the time, but we'd love your insight or your thoughts is how much of it do you think the success, grade there is related to the bigger name guest, or is it the story of the guest, or is, you know what I'm saying? Like, so for example, like you were saying, obviously some of your bigger shows were more, you know, soap related as opposed to the side conversations that you're having, right? I mean, what is your outlook, you know, when you're booking a guest? Is it like, I gotta get, you know, bigger names? Is that how it's gonna blow up?
Yeah, I mean, I feel if I can continue to get a big name here and there, the numbers go up.
Well, and it's a natural fit for you to talk to, like, people who started in soaps who are
correct.
Bigger names.
Kevin Bacon started on Guiding Light. You know,
I mean, you'd be hard-pressed to find someone. Julianne Moore. Like, there are so many people
who,
Sherry Stringfield. I mean, there's somebody who, what is she doing now? She has time to talk to you, for God's sake.
Sherry was supposed to be a part of the Michael Zaslow show, but she had a child care thing she had to take care of. But I have friends who I've worked with who, you know, it bums me out they have not fully said yes yet,
right?
You know, who started on soaps, who are, you know, bigger names out there, you know, they know who they are.
You do find out who your friends are when you try to do something like this, because the same people support my podcast every time I post stuff. It's always the same people.
Yeah.
And I'm always surprised by the people that don't, who I thought may have been more supportive.
Well, so. It's so funny because I think people, you know, probably thought this was sort of, and I didn't know either. I mean, they probably thought it was, you know,
negative.
Sort of that. Not negative, a fly by the seat of your pants thing, like it was going to be gone in a minute.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
You know, I never thought, you know, I've hosted over 140 episodes. And the other thing I'm really proud of, you know, we've done a couple of charity events and the locker room's raised over $60,000 for different charities.
Wow, that's amazing.
See, that needs to get publicized too.
Yeah, that's amazing. Josh and I have not raised money.
No money.
We did sing with Taylor Dane on an episode. I'm thrilled to say that Essie Hinton, who wrote The Outsiders, has now reposted my tweets twice. So
that's amazing.
And I have run out of people in my network. So I'm just going through my high school friends now and being like, who's doing cool shit?
Well, that's the thing, you know, and that's why I post every now and then to the blog, the PR blog and to LinkedIn about that I'm doing this. Cause you know, that's the only way people will know that it's an opportunity to, pitch me.
Yeah. Ideas. Well, social media is a huge help though, because you know what I did back to the GMA internship days? I went to a party because I worked for Joel Siegel and he had an invitation.
Yeah!
I
worked with Joel because I did an internship at WABC.
So
I did his Road to the Oscars.
What year were you there?
Way before you.
Okay. But when you were at Walt Disney, if you did movies, I was always scheduling like him going to do the previews and stuff.
Oh, what year were you there?
93.
Yeah, I was at Disney till 96. You probably scheduled him to come to our premiere.
Cool Runnings. Wait, did you do Cool Runnings?
Yes, I did.
Yes,
I did.
Malik Yoba.
And we had Malik on our show. See, this is a really crazy world.
Malik. Okay. Malik was a good guy.
Alan,
reach out to Malik.
Yeah, and sure. Alan, so we might have talked at some point in 1993. But my story goes this. I went to a party that he didn't want to go to. I met Michael Cerveris, who was at the time playing Tommy on Broadway.
This is a review. This just turned into a review episode.
That's one of my favorites. One of my favorite shows.
Yeah. So
you love it?
Yes, but that's not the story. So we took a picture. We take a picture together, okay? While we launched this podcast, I found the picture and I was like, what happened to that guy? So I Google and I see that he's been nominated like 6 times. Yeah. He's won twice. So I tweeted him the picture and I'm like, it looks like you're doing really well since this photo was taken. And he tweeted right back at me and he did our show. He was amazing.
He's a talented actor. My God, I love. He was on Fringe.
Yes, and Gotham, and that crazy serial killer one that was on Netflix.
Wait, you want to know how cool he is? I got into a car accident on the way to our podcast, and I was an hour late trying to get...
An hour late.
And he stuck around for another hour and a half. And
he hung out with my daughter, who at the time was 10, and myself, and like just the chillest guy. And he had done Ant-Man and Wasp. So like Ella, my daughter, was psyched because he was a Marvel guy. And also DC because of Gotham. Like he was the best.
There's good people out there. There really are.
Yeah, my point is just social media, reaching out. We just had Danny Boy O'Connor from the hip-hop group House of Pain. I also reached out to him on social media after he was in Kid 90, the documentary on Hulu. Like, you just never know.
Let's just say that what the points I think we're all making here is, right, like using the social media to get some of these people and promote, and the big names are important. I think personally, I mean, I know we were joking before, but like you do have the look for this too, you know, like, you know, you have the look of some professional. Well, I mean, okay, I'll take it. I look like Danny DeVito. So
right now, choose who you want. Yeah,
yeah. I do. I got to cut off.
Yeah, you do.
Like, I mean, give me a break, you know, but I mean, there is these elements, right, that play into the success quotient, right? Like how do you talk to like our audiences, like people who are looking to follow their dreams, or like, you know, like what is the advice you give on, like, you know, when you kind of don't have a road in front of you, it's just a you know, blank screen, how do you inspire someone or yourself to do it?
Keep doing it. I think especially now, there's so much to learn on the web. I mean, we couldn't have done, you know, like you just said, I've gotten a lot of things, even just a contact through social media or whatever it is. Social media is a crazy tool to learn. It really has helped me find ideas for guests too, outside of daytime per se. Right. But there's so many great things on there. I really think keep doing, you know, one thing, because I've talked about it, you know, I've done a couple shows with behind the scenes people,
right,
you know, producers, internships for people who are young, who are watching or listening to this, internships, they opened almost every door for me. And, you know, every producer, almost at Guiding Light, was an intern at one time, literally had an internship, and then became a producer, producing a television show that they loved. If there's something you love, reach out to, you know, there's a TV show you watch and, you know, you're into TV, or you're in, you know, you're a finance nerd, you know, whatever that favorite, you know, financial company
is. It keeps coming back, right, Brianna? Like the whole, like, just go, do it. Follow it. Don't stop.
I'm going to play into the title of our show for a minute, because I was an intern at Good Morning America. And my producer there under Joel, when I went back to school, she called me. She was so excited. She got a gig being the producer at Entertainment Tonight. I wanted to be on Entertainment Tonight. It was my dream to work at Entertainment Tonight. She promised me that when I moved back, there was a job for me. So I moved back. The bitch barely takes my So I love the enthusiasm for these internships, but the start of my career, that's how it started.
No, but what,
and it's pretty much been par for the course.
What Alan's saying is you should have pushed, kept pushing. No.
Well, but the thing is, back then, Josh, it was you either wrote a letter or you called on the phone. Like, you didn't have emails.
You know what is interesting, though, is like you're saying so many of these people came in as interns. In the media world, I will say, as much as like I feel like, you know, corporate America has changed, where like the success comes from jumping around. Well, you want to move to this position, you got to go to another company, and then you can come back and then jump back to another company, higher position. In the media world, it does seem that you get your reputation even in productions. You start as a PA and you move up, and producer and coordinating producer, and next thing you know, you're an executive. You know what I mean? Like, there is this kind of commitment to the long run that you have to have to move up those ranks. So, you know, for you to think about it, Alan, for you to be where you are now is really a product of you, that internship, that first internship you took.
Totally.
However, 150 years ago when you were a boy.
100%.
You know? So, like, right? Like, there is a kind of, which is counter to what some of the guests that we've had be. So a lot of, I would say half our guests are like, fuck it, quit your job, go do the thing you want to love and do, right? Whereas we're saying here today, there is some merit to sticking it out. And
well, you had a very nice career path. The length of time that you were at your jobs, what was the job that you were doing when you were laid off?
I was working for a TV and movie tour company called On Location Tours.
Oh my God. On Location with, Georgette?
Yes.
Okay. We might not want to go there right now.
Oh, I want to know.
But I do love that.
Are we recording?
This is how small this world is.
Oh, we'll now, talk after.
Yeah. Yeah. But
I was with them for almost 10 years, and I knew 2 weeks out, you know, it was all over the news. The phone started ringing. A lot of our business was group tour business. I knew, I said to my husband, don't be surprised.
Yeah.
The only
Did
thing
you know
that
the
really,
tour guides? Did you know all those guys?
All of them.
Gary, and Mahmood.
He lives around the corner.
No, he moved to Jersey. Wait, did he really?
I could see his house from my window.
No, right, you got to tell him you were on the show, dude.
That
Gary
is so
Amadeo,
funny.
You know Amadeo?
Yes, Amadeo.
Right?
I did a
tour with him where we were both doing the same show, but touring in opposite cities, a one-man show. So we would like I would be in L.A. when he was in Seattle or yada, yada, you know?
Both of them are talented.
Best. Hey, everybody, thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Jobs Blow podcast with Brianna and Josh. And if you like what you hear, we promise you'll like what you taste. You have got to try Mr. Bing's Chili Crisps. They are sweet, savory, spicy, crunchy, and crispy all at the same time. And they are literally the best condiment to add to any food, like eggs or pizza, tacos, or even on a salad. I like to cook with the Chili Crisps, and you can even add them to a bowl of ice cream. So make an order today and use our special Jobs Blow discount code. Just go to mr-bing.com. That's mr-bing.com and put in the code Jobs Blow for a spicy 10% discount on your next order. Thanks so much. And now back to the episode.
Looking for a job sucks. And everybody you talk to says you have to network. I have networked. You know, I've had over 500 guests on the show. I've networked like crazy for this show. Mm-hmm. Networking for the job thing just is, and I'm a people person. I'm a publicist.
Yeah.
But it's such a weird thing in my head.
It doesn't work. It doesn't really, really work.
Well, and are you, so what I was going to ask, so you had these really great long-term jobs that you obviously enjoy doing. Is this a different...
We'll talk about that.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, so you know, when we had Danny Boy on, he had said at the end, I mean, you're talking about someone who had the extravagance of living the hip-hop life in the 90s, who hit rock bottom, and now just started this museum where he's just happy to get that he can get a cup of coffee, have some, you know, clean water and a place to sleep. Like, he loves what he's doing, and that's where he is. And I'm just wondering, because I love doing this podcast, and the stress of bills is the only thing that like keeps me from just like
high five.
Yeah. Right.
That's 100%. I can't tell you that I thought this would be something I'd think of as a career, but I am enjoying it immensely. I am enjoying, you know, being creative, thinking of, you know, show ideas, reaching out to different guests. I'm going to toot my own horn today because you said it. But so Agnes Nixon, who created All My Children, One Life to Live, one of all my children's biggest fans is none other than Carol Burnett.
Oh, wow.
I wanted Rosie O'Donnell or Carol Burnett to join that tribute because I just wanted to hear from somebody that Agnes had such a big impact fan-wise. Right. You know, I had the actors on the show. Rosie, I had gone back and forth with other people. It didn't work out. Yeah. Called Carol Burnett's people. Carol's people were like, yes, immediately. But Carol doesn't like to do on camera. You know, she might not be. I don't know the reason. She just wasn't available to do it live when we did it.
Right.
I did a 20-minute interview with Carol, put it into the show. That show aired maybe March 31st. Today, I got an email from Carol's person. I apologize for the delay, but Carol wanted you to know she loved every second of that tribute.
See, like,
I mean, that,
when you're on your deathbed, that is what you're going to do. You're going to be like, Carol Burnett fucking loved a show I produced.
And, well, hello, Carol Burnett called. Hi, Alan. Yeah, it's Carol.
Yeah, no.
I'm dead. No, like
you're
that.
You're dead.
Right? Dead. Right. You know, I enjoy what I'm doing, but, you know, you said
the reality.
I gotta write those checks.
Brianna, what was the, you didn't get to the end of what Danny was saying, but if you love what you're doing, you know,
the money will follow.
The money will follow. So yeah, that's his point there.
And you know what I've been saying, like people, and I have, you know, I've been contacted. Like I said, there were a couple people who've approached. I kind of am looking at this like Field of Dreams. If you build it, it will come.
Yeah. Right.
And, you know, I'm building it. And I'm hoping it's going to come.
Well, from Josh and I's perspective, you're doing a fan-fucking-tastic job. Because let me tell you, it is tough. We know it is tough. We didn't want to take the time off from when the pandemic hit, but we had been doing live in studio, and we loved it. And it took us a while to get used to the concept of Zoom. You know, we're glad to be back, but, you know.
But being more aggressive
kept me
too.
Healthier during the pandemic.
Me too. Well, look at this. But being, you know, it is kind of making us, the break did kind of make us be a little kind of more fuck it attitude of like, just be more aggressive and who cares. And what's the worst they say is no, like your mom would say. So, you know, there is some kind of rejuvenation with that. I just want to say, because we should go to the game.
Can I quickly just tell you what I'm doing with two other women? They came to me and were doing SoapCon Live, which is sort of like Comic-Con, but we're doing SoapCon Live for Soap Stars, where there'll be panels and meet and greets and autographs. So if they go to SoapConLive.com, they can check out everything there.
Well, so, Alan, you have to start to get brands to, like, pay for, you know, you got to get brands to support that stuff.
And as a support, they also support our show.
Exactly.
Because we support you.
We package ourselves together.
Right.
Okay. So we're jumping into the game. It's called Afternoon Delight, the game. I got real creative on that. So these are just soap opera questions. I'm going to start you out really easy. And then we'll go from there. First question, of course, my girl, Reva Shane, was married 8 times. Three of the men were related. Who were the men and how were they related?
Oh, father, son, and brother, HB, Billy, and Josh Lewis.
You literally just said it right in the order I had.
In the order, too. That was impressive.
All right, that was a softball.
I thought you were going to ask me her last names in order, and that I was not going to get right.
Yeah,
because it's something like Reva Shane, Lewis, Spaulding, Cooper, Lewis.
About the Cooper marriage. Totally forgot the Cooper marriage. Okay. Which A-list actress got her start playing Hope Brady in a flashback on Days of Our Lives in 1994?
Oh. Well, it's not who played Hope, Christian Alfonso, right? No, I don't think so. I don't know who
flashback,
that is.
So she was a child.
Yeah.
Mila Kunis.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
See?
All right.
Another one.
That would be tough. I knew that would be. Well, I Googled how many people have played Hope, and it was like 6, and she was like the last one.
Wow.
So, all right. Do you want to take one, Josh?
I don't know anything about this stuff, so go for it.
After the cancellation of Another World, this is another easy one, in 1999, several characters from the show made appearances on what other soap opera?
As the World Turns.
Yes, I love As the World Turns.
So funny to me.
You started watching World Turns in a summer. So what summer and who were your favorites at that time?
I started watching As the World Turns in the late 80s, I would say. Who was the Lily? Was the relationship?
Lily, Dusty, and Holden?
Holden. It was Dusty wasn't on when I started. It was the Lily and Holden, and they swapped out Lilies during the first season I watched. But you know what season troubled me the most on As the World Turns was Angel and her pedophile father. That actor If I ever saw him in anything after that, I hated him. I automatically hated
him. I'm trying to think if his name was Henry Snyder. I don't know. Angel. But yeah, she was good. I can't remember who the actress is.
Wow. Okay.
So you go back. So were you watching when Julianne Moore was on?
No. Yeah. No. I missed Julianne.
Shortly after, I think you started.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Which famous actor got his start playing young Mason Capwell on NBC's Santa Barbara?
Oh.
He's A-list. He's very A-list.
Really?
I can give you the options that they gave in the quiz. Christian Slater, Leonardo DiCaprio, Brad Pitt.
Brad Pitt was on Another World. I'll say Christian Slater.
Leonardo.
Really?
Yeah. Who knew?
Come on, Alan. Come on, okay. Alan.
Did not know that.
I'm going to give you another easy one. On which soap opera did Ricky Martin play an aspiring singer?
General Hospital. I know Ricky Martin.
I love me some Ricky Martin.
Me too.
I have
a picture with Ricky from when I was a page at ABC, and he was in Menudo.
Menudo. Well, I had a crush on him, and I lived with a gay guy at the time, and the Puerto Rico commercial came out, and Ricky's hands went in the air, and my roommate was like, honey, forget it. About it. Okay. So what was the first daytime TV soap opera to air in the United States?
On television or on radio?
Oh, you know, I think TV, because it's TV soap opera. Its name is similar to one that was around for many years. It's called These Are My Children.
Oh, I don't know. I've never heard of that one.
Yeah. All right. Last, who shot JR, Alan?
Kristen.
Yes. Kristen Shepard.
Did you watch Dallas?
I watched it with my mother around the JR getting shot time. Yeah. But I started watching Knott's Landing when it launched with my mom. Then I think I missed some years. But then I started watching again when I was in high school and then college.
So one thing I didn't realize when Donna Mills was on my show, she said the first 2 years of the Knott's Landing, it wasn't really serialized, meaning it wasn't continuous. So each episode, because I felt it was a soap all along.
I did too.
Yeah.
Oh my God, such a great show. That was such a great show.
Could you imagine, I'm listening to you guys talk about it, I haven't seen Breaking Bad. Like in my mind, I'm like, there's going to be a time. I know, that I'm going to like sit down and watch a million. Could you imagine if someone's like, you got to watch Knott's Landing. Just start at the beginning. What is it, 30 God. Years?
You can't watch it anywhere.
No, I'm just saying, I'm listening to you guys going, oh, who killed JR? I'm like, oh, I should really go back and watch. Like, I would have to watch a lifetime of television.
Knott's Landing. I think it was only on like 8 years. Brianna, you said, are you watching everything these days?
Yeah. Yes.
Me too.
Yep.
Well.
All right. So, Alan, this has been amazing. I could literally talk to you for hours and hours and hours. And I wish I met you earlier in our careers since
we might have, though.
I mean, when did you start at As World Turns in of 97? What month?
August of 97.
Do you know I left in July of 97? So we literally missed each other. And that deli used to have a vegetable platter they named after me called Brianna's Vegetables.
Alan, you could be hosting this show with Brianna right now. It could be the two of you.
It could be us.
Not me in my underwear.
Or I could be in the locker room.
Right. This would be way better of a show. You need to hire her. She's amazing.
But oh, my God. I would totally be Googling all these people, naming people. I'd be like, oh, my God, Alan.
She loves name dropping. It's her thing. But honestly, we're super inspired by what you're doing and, you know, just how quickly you got yourself up and running and the success you're having. 500 guests, 140 episodes. Is that what you said? 140 episodes?
Yeah.
I mean, really impressive. So, you know, to anyone out there who's listening and looking to kind of either follow their dream or just put, you know, their best foot forward with what they're great at, listen to The Locker Room. Do you have social media handles or anything that you can give us?
It's at The Locker Room, all one word, and remember, LOCHER.
at the locker room, and is that your social? I'm sorry, your
that's Instagram. On Instagram and Facebook,
face and website, the locker room, and YouTube is the locker room.
OnlyFans,
do you have an OnlyFans page?
OnlyFans,
the locker room. That'd be hot though.
I hear I'd make money though.
This is how we make
that's
money.
Where people it's are called making
the,
money.
The locker room, and then me naked for all the Bears and Cubs.
Well, you're invisible there. Now, but the locker room does sound. Again, I'm going back to it. Sounds kind of gay pornish.
That's what I'm saying. I'm ready.
So OnlyFans, that all works out. Josh,
that's funny. When I was looking at the title of the show, you have to trademark it. I was looking, and everything was like a porn thing.
Right.
Oh yeah. Well, one of our highest rated shows, or the highest rated show we've had, is interviewing an adult film star. So there's an audience for it.
And their job blew.
Yeah, literally. That's literally. It was our dream to have her on too. Yeah. Anyway, we're jobsblowpodcast.com, at jobsblow podcast on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. And I'm Bree Haas 1 on Instagram.
And I'm at Mr. Josh Hyman. And please give us some reviews if you're listening, especially on Apple Podcasts, but really anywhere. Or write us an email, or write Alan an email. Suggest guests. Let us know who you want to hear from. If you have someone cool you think would be a good guest, we really appreciate all your time. Subscribe. Kisses. Hugs. Brianna, good talking to you. Alan, you're the
nice,
bomb.
Nice to meet
Thank you
in
so
person,
much.
Alan.
You guys are
Not
great.
Not in person, but live.
Live.
Thank
okay.
you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Gonna find my baby, gonna hold her tight, gonna grab some afternoon delight. My motto's always been, when it's right, why wait until the middle of a cold, dark night? When everything's a little clearer in the light of day, and we know the night is always gonna be here anyway. Sticks and stones together make the sparks ignite, and the thought of loving you is getting so excited. Sky rockets in flight, afternoon delight. Started out.